Well, good morning, Harmony. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and we are going to be looking this morning in the book of Genesis. We've been preaching Easter sermons for the last several weeks, but we'll be returning to our expository study of Genesis, and so we're looking forward to that. Today's message is a two-for-one special. A two-for-one special from Genesis chapter 29 and verses 1 through 35. And so we'll start this morning with our prayer request. And this morning we want to pray for all those who are suffering as a result of this virus and the recent storms. We want to pray for those trying to research and find treatments and a cure. We want to pray for our church members, those who are sick, those who are shut in, those who are recovering from sickness, those who are lonely and needing to hear from someone. And I would encourage you, if you're a member of Harmony Baptist Church, I've been talking to some of the church members, and I've also sent a card out to everyone, which you should have gotten by now. If you haven't, please let me know. But we're praying for you, and if you need someone and you need to talk to someone, please don't hesitate to reach out, and I would encourage our members to reach out to one another. And we want to pray for those listening to this message this morning and also those who will listen in the future. Not everybody listens to the message at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Some people listen later, and so we want to pray for those that will be listening now and in the future. We also want to pray for those that listen around the world. Many countries affected by this virus, many people in their homes on quarantine. That's a lot worse than it is here in the United States, and especially in our community. So we want to pray for them. We want to pray for our political leaders. We want to pray for Governor Kemp. We want to pray for President Trump. We want to pray for our legislators and for those making decisions about what to do and when to safely reopen. And we want to pray for God's guidance on them. We want to pray for everyone at this time that's being affected by this. And so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. And also pray that this message will go out this morning and accomplish what God has for it to accomplish. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for letting us be in your service this morning. We do pray that you'd forgive us for our sins. We pray that you would cleanse us, fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would focus my mind on the message this morning, and I do pray that you would focus all of us on your word. I do pray for those researching coronavirus. I pray for a cure to be found. I pray that you would take this disease away. I pray that you would help our communities. I pray that you would bless our shut-ins, bless those who are isolated at home, bless those who are feeling lonely, bless those and comfort those who are sick. We pray that you would just bless us. We pray you bless those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. We pray that you would just help us to receive what you have this morning. We ask it, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. Now we want to remind you before we get into the message that Wednesday night at 7 is our midweek webcast, and we will have, we'll be continuing our Hope series. We've been doing a special series on hope. So we hope you can join us at Wednesday night at 7, right here on our webpage, harmonybconline.com, and also on our Facebook page and our YouTube page, and also on Sermon Audio. So that's Wednesday night at 7. And then visit harmonybconline.com. You'll find there sermon archives, some of the past messages. You'll find a way to give online. If you're a member of Harmony Baptist Church and you're wondering about how do I give during this time? Well, you can give your tithes and your faith promise to missions online. We have a secure system through Tithely that we use, and it's very easy to use. I use it, and very easy to use. So that's at our website, harmonybconline.com. And then we have information about our church. If you're a visitor and you've never been to our church, you can find out all kinds of information about our church on our website. So please visit us online. Well, again, the sermon for today is a two-for-one special from Genesis 29, 1 through 35. Jacob got a wife, but he got more than he bargained for. And we can learn some lessons from this. So the first thing we're going to look at is Jacob takes a journey. Jacob takes a journey in verses 1 through 6. So the Word of God says, "Then Jacob went on his journey, and he came into the land of the people of the east." Now, who were the people of the east? Well, we have to go back to the previous chapter, and it's been several weeks since we've looked at this, but if we go back to chapter 28 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan-Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother." So the people of the east were Jacob's family on his mother's side. Now Jacob was sent away partially to get a wife because his parents were not happy with Esau's wives, who came from the neighborhood where they were living. They didn't like the neighborhood girls, so they wanted him to go back home to where his mother came from and get a wife from there. But also, he was sent away to protect him from Esau because he cheated Esau, and Esau wanted to kill him. Esau was Jacob's brother, and Esau was out to kill Jacob. And so, this was for his own protection. And so, he goes away to the people of the east. And the Bible says in Genesis 29 and verse 2, "And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, and out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth." Now, before Jacob had gotten to this well, before he'd come to this place, during his journey, and we studied this again several weeks ago, he had had a dream. And in this dream, he saw a ladder come down from heaven and angels ascending and descending upon this ladder. This is the famous Jacob's ladder. And God, in this dream, and after the dream, God confirmed the covenant with Jacob, the same covenant that he'd given to Abraham, and then he'd given to Isaac, Jacob's father. God confirms this same covenant with Jacob. And so God was moving in the life of Jacob and working in his life. So Jacob comes to this well, sent away by his parents, but really sent there by God. And God is going to do something miraculous in his life. And so he comes to this well looking for a wife. And the Bible says, "And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in this place." So they had a faucet there, and they turned it on by rolling the stone away and turned it off by rolling the stone back. And this was their method of watering the sheep. "And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we." So to translate that into our own dialect, he says, "Hey, brothers, where are y'all from?" And they said, "We're from Haran." So so he's just asking them where they're from. And, of course, they didn't have road signs and whatnot like we do. He didn't have GPS, so he's trying to figure out if he's close to the place he's going. And he said unto them, "Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." And he said unto them, "Is he well?" And they said, "He is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep." And so that leads us to our second point, and that is Jacob meets Rachel in verses 7 through 12. So verse 7 says, "And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them." So Jacob was a shepherd. And the way they were doing this was incorrect. It wasn't the right time of day. It was noon. And they weren't supposed to be doing it this way. So he's giving them some good advice. But he's also trying to get rid of them. He's seen Rachel and he wants to meet her without the shepherd boys there. After all, his mission was to marry one of the daughters of Laban. And this one looked good. And they said, "We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep." So this is tradition and laziness. And you can see the scene here. All these guys come to the well and they just sit there until they, you notice the Bible doesn't say we roll the stone away, it says until they roll it away. So they just sit there until they come and roll the stone away so that the sheep can be watered. So really it's just a way for them to goof off and not have to work until the people come to roll the stone away. And so the Bible says, "And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother." So Jacob, despite his flaws, is a leader. He took care of the problem himself. There was a stone in the way, and the others said, "We can't. We can't until they move the stone," so he moved it. He was also trying to impress Rachel. And this shows that he wasn't a weak man. Sometimes we think of Esau, his brother, as a strong man and Jacob as a little sissy man, but he really wasn't a weak man. He was strong. And so he rolls this stone away. And the Bible says in verse 11, "And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept." Obviously, he did not kiss her inappropriately. He just kissed her on the forehead or something like that. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And that leads us to the third point, that Jacob meets Laban in verses 13 through 20. "And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, Surely thou art bone of my bone. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" Now, brother here means nephew. And you'll see this quite often. Brother is just used to say your family. Or they might have been Baptists, because you know Baptists call everybody brother. "Hey, brother," it's a great thing to use if you forget somebody's name. "Hey, brother, how you doing?" But no, he was his nephew. Now, it was not Jacob, but Laban that suggested that he serve him. And Jacob gladly did so, and as we'll soon see, he even volunteers to serve for 7 years for his daughter Rachel. Love makes you do crazy things. But keep in mind that Jacob's family was rich. He had servants, yet he serves Laban like a slave for Rachel. And David Guzik says, Jacob's reaction to this situation will reveal much of his character. This demonstrates the principle that you never know what kind of a servant you are until others treat you like a servant. Some people aren't good servants. They think they are, but when they get treated like a servant, they sure don't act like a servant. But Jacob was a servant. And verse 16, and Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Now, tender-eyed means that her eyes were weak. And we're not certain what this means. Commentators aren't certain. It could simply mean that she had bad eyes. Or perhaps her eyes were unappealing compared to her sister. At any rate, she wasn't as pretty as Rachel. Rachel was the really pretty one. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man with me. Let me read that again. And Laban said, it is better that I should give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had for her. Now, this was a dowry, the 7 years' service, and it was an extremely generous dowry. But it would keep him safely occupied in another land for 7 years, safe from Esau. Laban naturally sensed weakness in this offer, desperation. So he took advantage of Jacob. Laban was a con artist, and he's about to offer Jacob a two-for-one special. Two daughters, when he wanted one. And this is not something that Jacob bargained for. Now we see the marriage in verses 21 through 30. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. So he's worked for 7 years, and he has not yet gotten Rachel. And so he says, hey, my time's up. I want my wife. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now the trickster, Jacob, is about to be tricked. The trickster is about to be tricked. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her unto him, and he went in unto her. So the bride would have been veiled until they were married. It was evening and it was dark. He never saw his new bride clearly. They were sisters and very probably were similar in size and height and possibly voice. Now, it's interesting that this is similar to Jacob's deception of his father Isaac, who couldn't see well. Was basically blind. And Jacob dressed up like his brother Esau and stole Esau's blessing by deceiving his father. So we see that you reap what you sow. It's amazing that people cheat others and they think they can get away with it. And people say it's karma. Actually, karma is a Hindu teaching that has to do with reincarnation. A person who was mean and hateful in this life might come back in the next life as a bug. and get squashed or something. But the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so, this is the law of sowing and reaping. And Jacob sowed trickery, and he reaped the same. The Bible says in verse 24, and Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. Well, they didn't have electricity, and I guess they didn't turn their lamps on. So when the morning came, the sun comes out, behold, it's Leah. What a surprise. And he said unto Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. So the father had absolute authority in the home. Leah and Rachel would both have to comply with their father's wish to marry Leah to Jacob first and then to give him Rachel. Now Laban uses the excuse that Jacob is not familiar with their customs. The custom in that country is to marry off the older girl first and then the younger. And so, Laban is a big trickster. He's a scam artist. And again, Jacob, who had tricked, is now being tricked and has been tricked by Laban. But really, God is teaching Jacob a lesson. So Laban says, fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. So the marriage feast was for 7 days. And Laban says, it's only fair. Our customs dictate that the older must marry first. So if you want Rachel, finish your week with Leah, and then you can have Rachel. Of course, with a catch. You have to work for me for another 7 years. What a dishonest person Laban was. Yet Jacob himself had been very dishonest, and God was teaching him that it never pays to lie and cheat and deceive. It should also be noted that later on, the Bible forbids marrying a wife and her sister. However, this was legal and permissible at the time. And so the Bible says in verse 28, and Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. So Jacob really wants Rachel, and he's willing to do most anything to get her, even though he's been cheated. He knows this is what he has to do. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And the names of these handmaids are important because we'll see in the next chapter that they actually bear children to Jacob as well. And so they become important. And the Bible says in verse 30, and he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Now we'll look at the fifth thing, which is the children, in verses 31 through 35. So the Word of God says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So the Lord had compassion on Leah. Even though Jacob did not want Leah, she was his wife. He should have treated her right. Hated doesn't mean that he hated her the way we would think of it. It means that he favored Rachel rather than Leah. And it's interesting how God works this out. Because here's the prettier sister, and the prettier sister is the one that Jacob really wants, but he ends up marrying the older sister who's not as pretty, and he doesn't really want her, but he sleeps with her, and they have children, and God opens her womb, and he leaves Rachel barren. And so, it's interesting the way that all of this works out. And the Bible says, "And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore will my husband, will love me." The name Reuben means behold a son. And so she has a son and she thinks, finally my husband is going to love me. Because her husband obviously has sex with her, he sleeps with her, and they conceive children, but she knows that he doesn't love her like he loves her sister. And so it's a really messed up thing. And that's why God forbids it later on. But she names the first child Reuben, behold a son. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And the name Simeon means heard, because the Lord had heard that she was hated, and he gave her this son. And she conceived again, and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And Levi means joined to. Now keep in mind that, once again, it was not Leah's fault that she tricked Jacob. It was the father. The father, Laban, was in charge of the girls, and they had to do what he said. And so, in that culture, they had to do it. And so, this plan had been worked out, and Leah is legitimately his wife, Jacob's wife, and she expects him to love her. She loves him, after all, but he just doesn't love her. Just doesn't feel about her the way he feels about her sister. So she has the son Levi, meaning joined to. Because she thinks, now my husband is going to be joined to me. There's not going to be this distance. He's not just going to sleep with me and then I don't feel loved. There's going to be love. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. And finally, she looks beyond her husband to the Lord. And she says, now will I praise the Lord. Judah means praised. And it was through this tribe, through the tribe of Judah, that Christ came. When we come to the end of looking to people and we focus on God and praising Him, then we will see true blessings. She couldn't have the marriage she wanted, but she could still praise God. She could not have the love of her husband like she wanted it, but she could still praise God. And God gave her not Rachel, God gave to her, not to Rachel, the most important children as far as the lineage goes. Levi is the priestly tribe from which came Moses. And Judah is the royal tribe from which came Christ. And so God looked on Leah and had compassion on her because Jacob, he didn't ask for this. This is what happened to him. He had been a deceitful person. He got tricked. But now that Leah was his wife, he needed to love her. In fact, the Bible commands us in the New Testament to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And he should have been willing to put himself aside and his feelings aside and his disgust aside at being tricked and realized, okay, this is the way it is. I'm going to love my wife. I mean, he seems to accept the additional 7 years just fine. He goes and serves Laban 7 more years after he's already served 7 years and been cheated because he wants Rachel. So he's willing to serve another 7 years, but he's not willing to love his wife, Leah. And that is a very selfish thing, and God will teach him lessons through that as well. And God is teaching him a lesson. And so, as we look at this, we learn that God wants us to do what's right where we are. He wants us to do what is right. He wants us to obey Him in the circumstances we're in. And so, this was the circumstance that Jacob found himself in, and he should have done what's right towards his wife. Now, perhaps you're listening to this, and you're married to a husband who's not what you wanted him to be. And perhaps you're listening and you're married to a wife that's not what you wanted her to be. Yet, you're married and you have an obligation, if you're a man, to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And if you're a woman, you have an obligation to obey your husband. And that's what the Bible teaches. And that way of what we call mutual submission, where the man submits to God and to his spouse by laying aside his own desires and dreams in order to help his wife and fulfill his wife's needs, and where a woman lays aside her own wishes to obey her husband and do what he wants, and really both are trying to do what the other one wants, and therefore both are trying to help one another. But if you've been married any length of time, you've figured out that you can't change your spouse. And if it's your goal to change your spouse, it'll be a wasted goal and a waste of your life. And so the only person you can change is you. And that's really true in any kind of relationship, in anything. The only person you can change is you. And so Leah comes to the point here at the end of this chapter where she quits talking about her husband and saying, now he'll love me. Now we'll be joined together. And she says, I'm going to praise the Lord. And when she comes to that point, the child's name is Judah, and it is from that tribe that Christ comes. And the answer to any problem that you're having today is Christ. Is Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer. If you're not saved, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and He rose from the dead. And if you will believe in Him and receive Him into your life, He'll come in and He'll save you. He'll forgive your sins and He'll change your life. He'll give you a home in heaven if you'll simply believe in Him as your personal Savior today. And maybe you're listening to this today and you are a Christian. You're a believer in Jesus Christ and you know you're going to heaven. That's settled. But you're having other problems in your life, and you've got people that have done you wrong and people that have cheated you and people that have tricked you, and maybe you've tricked other people, and you're just trying to figure out where this whole thing is going. Maybe you're feeling lonely. Maybe you're feeling forgotten. Maybe you're sitting at home feeling like nobody loves you very much and nobody cares. And the answer to your problems today and your feelings today is Christ. Christ. Look to Him. Look to Him today. If nobody loves you, Jesus loves you. Now, there are people that love you. There's always people that love us, even when we feel like that they don't. But If nobody in the world loves you, Jesus loves you. If everybody's forgotten about you, Jesus remembers you. And you're in His thoughts and on His mind. And the best thing we can do is to look to Him today and just praise Him. And instead of trying to change the world and change other people, we need to focus on changing ourselves and letting Christ, through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God, work in our lives to change us into what God wants us to be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this story today in Your Word. I thank You that through this two-for-one deal that Jacob got, that You teach us some lessons just as You taught him. And I pray that through this we would see that we need to look to You and not look to other people, but that we just need to look to You for everything. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray if there's anyone listening to this that's not saved, that today would be the day that they would turn to You and trust You to be their personal Savior. I do pray if there are people listening to this that are suffering, that are lonely, that are feeling neglected, or maybe in a marriage that's not what they thought it would be, I pray that they would look to You today and find the joy that comes from praising You and being changed from the inside out by You. And we ask it, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening today. We appreciate you joining us, and we hope that you have a great week. And we may find, I want to say one more thing. I've already closed the message, but I want to say this one more thing. You may find that if you change, it doesn't change the other person at all. But you may find that if you change, that not only do you get the satisfaction of changing yourself, but that because you've changed towards that other person, that they'll change towards you. And that may be. But let's look to the Lord this week. And let's praise Him. And I hope you have a great week. Join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m. right here on Facebook Live, YouTube, and Sermon Audio as we preach, continue to preach through our Hope series. God bless you. Hope you have a good week.